Commissioner Jeremy Matlow with me today. Not only his campaign, his successful effort to snag this position and what he's been doing in the last 90 days to help us all. I've got Nancy Dignan with me, another My Weather View, and we're going to talk about Alzheimer's Association, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com. Here we are, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, another exciting edition of this here fine radio show. Now in our eighth season, yes, I keep telling you that, just so that you know that I'm not making this stuff up, right? This is not like from years past, hashed through and left over. No, this is the fresh, the real deal. Yeah, and we're glad you're with me. On this occasion, I'm glad that you've taken the time to make it part of your day. However you may find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. You can listen through streaming from the website. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can tune in to 93.3 FM locally here in Tallahassee. Real Talk, they're called. All kinds of talk shows going on over there. And on Saturdays, it gets very local. So that's where we find ourselves with them. We're simulcast on Moose Magnificat. Just like it sounds. Magnificat. For those of you who are phonetically challenged, that's how that works. MooseMagnificat.com. Bringing you local musicians playing their original tunes, the sound of Tallahassee, as we say it, along with some really nifty shows. Danny on Everything, Danny Bedrosian, remarkable musician, and just a remarkable human being, person who has so many diverse interests and such. He calls it Danny on Everything. And it is that. It's about all kinds of people who he comes across in his travels. You know, he tours with George Clinton and company, making music around the world. Has done that for better than a decade. I think he's 15, 16 years, something like that. He's a young man, too. Right, Carl? I mean, he started out when he was just like a wee lad. Having a good time, and man, tremendous following in his own music. He's authored, composed a lot of music, and has a number of different music groups that he's formed and performs with. And anyway, Danny on Everything comes up once a month. What is that, Carl? That's the it's like the first Friday and the first Sunday of each month. Isn't that how it works? Yeah. We try to keep you posted on that. You can go to MooseMagnificat.com and find out more about Danny's show. And here we are with Tallahassee Talks every week. Or you can subscribe to the podcast. Several thousand podcasters out there. You
who like to download this to your phone, you can do that. Anyway, we have a great show lined up with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. He is newly elected, as you probably know. Ran a good campaign, he did, and had a very simple message, I thought, going in. He referred to his own personal history, growing up on the south side of town here in Tallahassee and in rather meager circumstances, homeless at one point or another, and always among those who we consider faced with food insecurity. It's a recurring problem nationally, an ongoing problem, I should say, not recurring, but epidemic in many respects. Much more pervasive than you might realize. It's certainly been part of my comeuppance. I've been educated to realize that poverty and homelessness, food insecurity, man, it's invisible in plain sight. My good friends over there at Second Harvest will remind me, Mary Deakle and company. Yep. So it's important to me that we keep that idea front and center. And we're going to talk with Commissioner Matlow and find out more about what efforts are being made at that level, city commission and all, to try to combat that or provide solutions for. And a lot of other folks around town, indeed. And things like where the police headquarters needs to be located. Why the Midtown parking garage idea just didn't work, didn't float. And kind of his take thus far, what's it been like for him in the first 90 days of his term of office. Things he's had to contend with, things that he's had to take into account that perhaps had not occurred to him. It's this freshman class, and if you talk about the change in Tallahassee, man, there's a great example of, in almost a symbolic manner, as well as a real-time change in leadership, the tone that you get from listening to people like Jeremy and Mayor Daley now, and the attitude, I think, is perhaps a bit more accessible. Halsey Bashirs was here a few weeks back, and he talked about Mayor Daley and company reaching out to the newly elected governor, and that in years past, with other leadership there at the city, not so much. They were kind of like, no thanks. But this commission seems to be willing and able to reach out beyond their confines. They've already had two town hall meetings with some rather encouraging results as far as attendance. They got another one coming up here. We'll talk with Jeremy about that. I think it's late March. We've offered to do this. We're willing to bring in our resources and make the broadcast of those meetings available online at Moose Magnificat, our own online radio station. If you've not tuned in to that reality, do so. Do yourself a favor. Find out what Tallahassee sounds like. I think you'll appreciate the fact that we have hundreds and hundreds of artists around this community, around the region, that are highly accomplished and great music, worth listening to. And, yeah, we need to appreciate those folks. And that in and of itself, to me, is a kind of connection then back to those in public leadership, people like Commissioner Matlow with the City Commission, people who are connected, who appreciate you and I, who are kind of down here at the everyday level, we'd say, in the trenches with the rest of us. You know, when all of the commissioners show up for these town hall meetings, not one or two, but they were all there, and they've been there for both of these, and their intention is for that to continue. And to be outside of the, you know, the city hall chamber sessions there. I mean, yeah, to open things up a bit. Well, good for them. Anyway, that's Jeremy Matlow coming up in the second hour. We will talk with David Wheeler and Yasmin Khan. They are with the, they are with Alzheimer's Association. And they've got an event coming up they want you to know about. We're going to talk with them about the work they do and how Alzheimer's and other dementia maladies are center to their work and their focus. And of course, I've got Nancy Dignon standing by here. She's got another installment for My Weather View. So we're going to find out from Nancy what she knows. And you and I are going to continue this conversation, so stay with me. We'll be right back.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans King Cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
Like a good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, don't forget, you can email us at topics@tallahasseetalks.com. It's a great way to stay in touch with us if you have a topic or a guest you would like us to consider. And I think we're out there with all the various social media, or at least the more significant. In any way or shape or form that you can connect with us, we're always happy to have you. You know why? Because you're worth it. You'll count. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing today, I want to say keep on, keep going. Be the good that you are. And don't listen to the naysayers too much. All right? Just keep on keeping on. I believe in you. By the way, public and work Place Safety Forum. Here's an announcement from our local Chamber of Commerce. They've got Sheriff Walt McNeil, State Attorney Jack Campbell, Police Chief Michael DeLeo. This is coming up this Wednesday, March 6th, 7:30 a.m., you early riser. Goes for 2 hours. It's at the Turnbull Conference Center. You can go online to learn more about it if you go to just Google Tallahassee Chamber Public Workplace Safety Forum. It's open to the public as well as it is to chamber members. There is a small fee involved, but might be interesting to you. Leon County has an announcement for you. You should apply now for Summer Youth Training Program for folks between 14 and 24 who can apply now for summer employment. And you do that by going to leoncountyfl.gov/summeryouth. Okay, so there's a couple of goodies for it, and we'll tell you more as we get into the second hour of the show. How about that? So right now I've got Nancy Dignon standing by with another My Weather View. Nancy?
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. Today's topic that I want to talk about in My Weather View is something that was solicited, and it's a topic about lightning and then trying to stay safe if you're caught in it. So I think lightning is interesting because in Florida, we have more thunderstorms than every other state. And it mostly is because of our latitude. We're in a warm area. And then the other part of it is we're a peninsula surrounded by water on three sides. As the air warms up, it's able to hold a whole lot of water vapor. And it does. So, you know, we all make the joke, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every day it's going to rain. Yeah, not so much. It may not. It may rain on one side of town, may rain on the other, but typically there's a thunderstorm somewhere. And when you have a thunderstorm, you will always have thunder, lightning, some heavy rain, maybe even some gusty winds, and possibly something other than that. Now, you may not always see the lightning, especially in daytime thunderstorms where there's so much light out there, it's obscured. You may not hear the thunder because the sound wave may actually be traveling off in a different direction. But, you know, everything is out. All the elements of a thunderstorm are out there. So what's the best thing to do? I think most of the time we choose to do nothing. And it's not because we're ignorant. It's because we have so many thunderstorms. If we did something every time they were forecasting a thunderstorm or there was one that was developing, it would be very difficult to kind of go about our lives. So most of the time we ignore it, though there may be some occasions where we know it's a little more serious than other occasions. But lightning is an electrical current, and you could be talking something on the order of like 10 million volts. Well, nobody wants to be exposed to that. And since it's an everyday occurrence, again, we don't necessarily do things that we should in order to stay safe. Very many times, people at least know, out of a pool, out of the beach, out of the water, water's a good conductor. If lightning hits, it won't travel very deep, but it'll travel across the thin top layer of water. And if you're in it, you're going to, you know, minimally get shocked, and it could be more severe than that. We don't want folks outside, you know, touching metal appliances or touching metal objects. So very many sports events, they're delayed or perhaps postponed if it were a little more serious. And the other side of it is, if you think about it, we have more delays than we used to. Well, we didn't used to have this technology. In fact, I remember as a student at FSU, you know, there was a, you know, forecast for thunderstorms. You'd bring a poncho, you're in the stands, the athletes are playing through, there's a game going on. Well, nowadays it's not like that. In fact, very often you're in the stands and you hear them come in over the loudspeaker and say, "We are in a lightning delay, we'll come back in 40 minutes. We now have the technology to be able to pick up lightning. My understanding is that FSU has a more specific delay than the NCAA. The NCAA, they may limit it to, you know, if lightning is within 20 miles, and I think FSU is a little closer than that. It's between, I believe, 7 and 10 miles, because there's the danger that lightning can travel far distances. And if so, again, metal objects are good conductors. We don't want people at risk. You're talking 10 million volts of electricity. Now, the lightning itself isn't much. Average 7 miles long, thickness of a pencil, but it's so intense with all that electrical current. So these days, you hear about more of these delays, you hear about more of the postponements, those kinds of things, and it really is because of safety. Now that we have the technology and we can show you and tell you when there is lightning closer to where we are, we don't want people to be at risk. So not being outside is a good thing. If you're in your home, we tell people, you know, the lowest floor of a home, away from windows. I have funny stories because I also teach at the college, and I had students tell me this. I had a girl, and her mom told her that when there were thunderstorms, they had to crawl on the floor, stay away from windows, and no one was allowed to talk. And so as I heard that, I was thinking, well, you know, there's a little science there. Staying away from windows is good because if lightning hits and the glass breaks, you'd be cut. Crawling on the floor, I thought, well, maybe her mom was thinking, you know, small, lowest possible target. And we tell people, you know, if you're outside exposed to the elements, crouch down as low to the ground as you possibly can. And then she said nobody was allowed to talk. And I thought, yeah, I think she's just nervous, because sometimes when people are nervous, they don't like that incessant chatter. And that was probably just to kind of keep her a little bit calm. So there are a lot of things that we hear. There is a lot of truth to some of it. But staying safe is important. Inside, away from windows, not touching a metal appliance or using an appliance that's plugged in. Very often we tell you to unplug it if you can. Staying away from contact with the water. If you are in an open field and there's no place for shelter, the very best thing that you can do is crouch down as low to the ground as possible and tuck your head between your legs. And it really is to make yourself a small, low target. Don't spread eagle because you're a more exposed target, but you're trying to limit your contact with the ground while reducing your chance of being struck by lightning. If you feel a tingling sensation and the hairs on your arm are standing straight up, it means you've made a path that lightning could flow. And again, at that point, crouch down as low to the ground as you possibly can. This has been my weather view for this week. I'm Nancy Dignan.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here they are on their return visit to Tallahassee Talks. David Wheeler, Yasmin Khan, how are you, my friends?
Wonderful.
Doing well, thank
good
you.
Having you back.
Great to be
thank
back.
To tell us about the Alzheimer's Volunteer Kickoff Party. Yasmin, tell me about it.
Sure. So on Fat Tuesday, this Tuesday, March 5th, we're having our volunteer kickoff. Mm. And this is intended to bring folks who are interested in the Walk to End Alzheimer's, one of our signature events, interested in volunteering for our walk planning committee. So the kickoff is an opportunity to learn about different ways to get involved, whether cool. it's joining the committee, volunteering day of, or just overall supporting the association. We'll be providing information on different subcommittee roles, as well as what the Walk to End Alzheimer's is all about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good effort being made, as we say, locally and across the country, even internationally. When it comes to Alzheimer's, David, you've been involved for a number of years.
I think this is year six.
Yeah.
And
it's very personal for you.
You bet. My father was a brilliant, funny guy.
Like me.
Fun.
Like me.
Exactly. That's why we hit it off.
Oh.
And LeMoyne was the guy you wanted to sit next to at a dinner party.
Wow.
He was a great guy to be around. And Alzheimer's attacked his brain and destroyed his mind, and taking care of him nearly killed my mother.
Wow.
So about 6 years ago, I saw an ad in the paper for the kickoff that we hold in a few months to actually kick off the walk itself.
I got you.
And I had been doing walks for a few years for another cause.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? This is going to be my cause now.
Yeah.
And
a little closer to home, we'd say.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I got involved. And I want to appeal to people who have been touched by Alzheimer's or any other form of dementia. Alzheimer's is the name of our association, but the association supports research and support for people with all forms of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have been touched or are being touched by any form of dementia, we'd love your help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to do something. We have a member of our committee last year whose family is dealing with this. One of her parents is dealing with this, but in another part of the state. She's here, her life is here, her career is here. She can't do anything for her parent or her siblings directly.
Mm-hmm.
So she joined our committee to do something by extension.
Neat.
And those are the kinds of people that I want to appeal to. Mm. To come on out Tuesday night, the 5th, join us, have some good time, and learn about how you can get involved.
Okay,
and help.
So it's Tuesday night, what time?
5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7, and where?
At the yard, so the former location of Proof. So it's at 644 McDonald Drive.
Right down there in the Railroad Square.
Yep.
Lovely.
In the building that was Proof Brewery.
So in that capacity, Yasmin, you joined up with the organization as well some time ago.
Yes.
Where does the money go when you guys are out there walking and doing other things throughout the year to raise those funds? How does that money get spent?
So, and David, you can touch on this as well. So we are a national organization. So the Alzheimer's Association is a national organization, but with a local presence.
Yeah.
So our chapter, Central and North Florida, spans 43 counties from Orlando all the way northeast to Jacksonville and northwest to the Pensacola region. So within our chapter, our funds help support research, advocacy efforts, programs, and overall education, as David mentioned, to for those living with Alzheimer's disease and those caring for those or affected by those with the disease as well.
That is a kind of caring. You said it almost killed your mother.
It is.
That is just over the top.
It is. And it is so stressful that it's not unusual for the caregiver to die before the care recipient. I've heard stories of families where dad was so beat up taking care of mom that he died before she did.
We have talked with locals, like I say, and I you know, I think of my dear friend Anna Johnson, who is an example of someone high profile, but somebody who walked that walk. The walk you're walking is about helping support individuals in that situation. And Yasmin, you say as well, the research, the education, the various supportive programs. If I want to be part of the walk, what do I do? Is it best just to come to this startup, the kickoff party?
By all means, why not? Come on out and learn join more. Us. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some food, cash bar, and
prizes.
And maybe being part of the committee isn't your thing. Maybe you'd like to get maybe start a team with your family and friends. Maybe you'd like to involve your workplace.
Yeah.
Maybe your business could be a sponsor. Maybe your faith community or your civic group would like to start a team. Any of those are options, and there are others. And we're always eager to have people bring us an idea. Hey, well, what about
this? Try
this,
yeah.
We would love to have some businesses that would help us by loaning us some of their people to be part of the, who could bring their professional expertise to the committee and help us on the committee.
Right.
So
this committee sounds like it's a lot of folks. How many people do you have on your committee?
Currently we have 15, but you know, with having this event, we'd love to grow that even further.
Right.
And you know, with our committee, we encourage involvement, you know, on a monthly basis. We have meetings, but as we get closer to the walk, we'll of course meet more regularly. But you know, the more folks that we have on board, the more passionate leaders that we have, the greater impact we can make.
It's interesting. We have Commissioner Jeremy Matlow will be on later in the show in the second hour. And he and I have talked at length about this intersection of private and public, right? Here we have a nonprofit association that has, like so many, devoted itself to a given focus, a particular area of need, in this case Alzheimer's and other dementia. He talks about how public, private, and nonprofit can better coordinate with one another.
There's huge synergy, the potential for huge synergy there, and I love that idea.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, particularly when it comes down to it, having private business, and we administer a number of promotions, you know this, throughout the year. Our Tallahassee Food Challenge is now about to launch for 2019, right? Gain Street Pies is once again our presenting sponsor for the year. And what this does is generate a tremendous amount of awareness. Last year, we created, I think, just over 1.5 million media impressions.
Nice.
What does that mean? It means that in a 5-county metro area, 500,000 people were exposed to our message at least 2 times, let's say, right? Or better, maybe 2.5 times. That kind of exposure is what you're really wanting, isn't it? You want people to get it.
You know, every time somebody joins our committee and gets involved, we not only acquire them, we acquire their entire network. Mm. We acquire their Facebook friends, mm-hmm. their LinkedIn connections, their Twitter followers, all their other social media connections,
yeah.
their coworkers, the people in their faith community, their civic group, their neighbors, everybody they know that they could send an email to or call on the phone and say, "Hi, it's David Wheeler." "Oh, hi, David. You know, I'm involved with the Walk to End Alzheimer's now. Could you help us?" We don't just acquire individuals for the committee. We acquire them and all their network.
Gotcha.
And we're going to, my role this year is communications chair. And one of my tasks is to get everybody on the committee exploiting their network in service of the project.
That's fantastic. Talking with David Wheeler, Yasmin Khan, they are here representing Alzheimer's Association for Tallahassee. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Learning Program today. Or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. childcare.fsu.edu, 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with David Wheeler, Yasmin Khan, Alzheimer's Association, with their spentabulous kickoff party coming up Tuesday, 5 to 7, at what used to be Proof Brewing down there in Railroad Square. It's called The Yard now, isn't it?
Yeah, The Yard at Railroad Square.
The Yard at, it's not easy to say, is it Railroad?
Railroad.
The Yard at Railroad Square. This is March 5th and 5 to 7. Here's what I want to tell you, too. You need to RSVP, and you can do this by sending an email to Yasmin, and her address is very simple, which is going to be YSKHAN, K-H-A-N, right? YSKHAN at alz.org. So here's what this does. If you will do that, it will help her, bless her heart, to figure out exactly how many snacks she needs to have. Is this right?
Preferably, yes.
Yes, and we'd like to know.
Yeah, if not, it's okay. If you show up, we'll be happy regardless.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good for me because, you know, I'm me. So, volunteer kickoff party this coming Tuesday, 5 to 7, The Yard at Railroad Square. Snacks. Door prizes, and a cash bar. Love it. Learn more about the association, what you can do to be a part of this whole thing. And there, the neat thing about it is when you, and I've done a lot of these things over the years, and you meet people who, hey, I didn't know you were involved in this. I know you. I know you from, or you're in my neighborhood. My goodness, I didn't know. Oh, that's right. Your mom was suffering. Oh, that's right. And so you start developing these connections across the way that lead to all kinds of other neat things. Am I right or am I right?
Certainly. Certainly. Yeah. Yeah, I've made great friends through this. I've made business connections. I've, you know, had, there are all kinds of ancillary benefits of getting involved.
I know that
like
you
this.
Have, in this focus, you're looking at volunteerism, right?
Sure.
You're looking for individuals.
Right.
But I know you also got businesses, you mentioned business opportunities that are committed to helping you locally.
Right.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
And I don't see them listed here on your flyer, but I know that there are some businesses in town that have done quite a bit. to help the Alzheimer's Association.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are several that we count on every year, and every year they show up and they help.
Who are some of those folks, if you can think off the top of your head?
A lot of the memory care facilities in the community have supported us. Examples are Your Life of Tallahassee, Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare, Memory Disorder Clinic are just two of our newest sponsors.
Yeah, see that? Perfect fit. And here you come to these fine people and decide, here's why I want to apply my talents and gifts. And you've been with Alzheimer's Association for how long now?
Not very long, sir. I've started in May of 2018, so about 10 months.
That's longer than a lot of people would do this. I'm going to be honest with you. And I say that with all due respect to the whole business of nonprofit organizations. Been in and around a lot of them over the last 40 years of my career. Because it's not for-profit by definition. Mm-hmm. A lot of the rules are different, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those has to do with marketing. So we've had conversations with a lot of folks about this topic in which you go back to your board, let's say, hey, we're going to spend $40,000 on an ad campaign to help people educate themselves or help educate people as to our cause, as to the purpose of this association, as to the needs for continued support. Very tough to get that to fly because those boards will say, well, if we had $40,000 or whatever, that money we would simply pump into the programs that we already have in place. So it puts people like you in a very tough spot because you just don't have those resources immediately available.
A lot of the lift on promoting our events comes to us.
Yeah.
And
hoofing it.
And that's why I talk about plugging into the networks, using social media, using resources like this where you're gracious enough to let us come in and talk about our cause and talk about our events. Mm-hmm. And it works pretty well. Mm-hmm. It could be better, but this is our task.
Well, we have found it to be an interesting strategy where we will pull together a group of businesses, sponsors, who then fund that marketing campaign. That's what the Food Challenge is about. That's what Help Christmas Connection is about. Then we have a program called Tallahassee Prepared. All of this is funded through private dollars. We don't have any public monies coming our way.
Nice.
Simply to get the message across. When it comes to Alzheimer's Association, you're one of, close to 600 nonprofit organizations operating in Tallahassee. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Yasmin, that's daunting, it seems to me, when it comes down to competing for volunteers, dollars, mind space, reminding people. By the way, there's a walk coming up. Can you be a part of this? Is that how you spend your day, basically, just trying to get that message out?
I think that's a part of it. I mean, and that's not to discount. I mean, there are so many wonderful causes to give to and to support. And, we are one of many, but we have a very unique cause and a unique mission to end Alzheimer's disease altogether, to really eliminate the disease through the advancement of research and providing enhancing care for those affected.
Right.
We know that our mission hits home for many individuals, and we, want to be available and want to be ready to help those who want to jump on ship with us.
Right.
Can I use a radio cliche?
Please.
Within the sound of my voice,
yes,
there are people who have been affected. And they said there are really only three kinds of people. Those who've been affected by dementia, those who will be affected by dementia, and those who will care for someone affected by dementia, and or care about someone.
Yeah.
Within the sound of my voice, there's a bunch of those people. And we'd like as many as will turn out on Tuesday night.
Right.
And if you can't make it Tuesday night, you got Yasmin's email.
Right.
Shoot her an email and say, I couldn't make it Tuesday night, but I'd like to get involved, and we'll get you involved.
That's a great idea.
I also want to mention there's a Facebook event this.
Okay.
And it's Tallahassee Walk to End Alzheimer's Volunteer Kickoff.
Okay.
I believe is what it's titled.
So if I go to Facebook, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna if I'm not already liking your page, which I need to do, right?
Right.
Then yes. I just do a search for Tallahassee Alzheimer's?
Tallahassee Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Yes.
There you go.
I think it's actually 2019 Walk to End Alzheimer's Volunteer Kickoff Party.
Just put in Alzheimer's, see what happens.
Yeah, you'll find us from there. And we do as
or search by date.
That's
March
a good
5th.
Thing. Her email address again, Yasmin Khan, YSKHAN at alz.org. It's coming up this Tuesday, Mardi Gras, March 5th, 5 to 7. At the Yard at Railroad Square. Have some snacks, get some door prizes going on. Enjoy yourself and meet some great people like David Wheeler and Yasmin Khan. Thanks
Thank
for being
you.
Here
Takes
today.
Takes one Thanks. To know one, Brian.
Well, that's
Thanks,
what they
buddy.
Tell me.
Thank you for having us.
Folks, that's what we got for you now. We've got another hour of this here fine radio show. You stay with me. We'll be back after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, using my best radio voice to tell you the things that I know and a lot of things that I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I'm amazed at how little I know about so many things. It's just remarkable. However, I am fortunate enough to be among those who are much smarter, much better informed, you know, who read things and listen and pay attention. You know, I'm over here watching Leave It to Beaver reruns and, you know, Barney Fife. What an actor. Yeah. Now we're going to talk with Jeremy Matlow, also a commissioner. You just never know what you're going to get with me, do you? It's scary. Jeremy, young fella, family man, just had a new baby here a few months ago while he was running for office. Yeah. So he's doing all right. He started this little company called Gain Street Pies. Good food, man. Eat more pizza. Make sure it's Gain Street Pies. And I should throw out a plug there for the good people at GSP. Once again, this year they are the presenting sponsor for our Tallahassee Food Challenge, which has as its mission the education, the information, the opportunities, I would say, to be proactive in challenging the food scarcity that plagues this part of our state. I mean, Leon County, third in the state for food insecurity. What does that mean? Pretty simply means that we have more people per capita in this county who find it difficult, challenging to find food, that have access to food, that can get to where the food is, because they don't have transportation, because they don't have stores within, you know, 5 miles of where they live, or they don't have the means. Right. Big problem. And so Tallahassee Food Challenge is here to say, come on, while we try to create better environs for those who are suffering, those who are disadvantaged, we are at the same time wanting to bring some support, aid, resource in helping to feed hungry children, hungry families. When you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, that's where you find out all of the various charitable organizations, food charities that are focused on providing that support. We have a complete listing of those, and among them, of course, Second Harvest, sort of leading the charge, because we've learned this by talking to Rick Miner, who I had on my mind earlier, CEO over there at Second Harvest. They have this remarkable ability to take a dollar and buy $4 worth of food. So a $10 donation means you're helping them buy $40 worth of food, because they have the leverage. You know, they can go out to these large food suppliers nationally, ConAgra and people like that, and they get it at a price tag that you and I just couldn't. So you can go and buy $40 worth of food, but if you give them $10, yeah. So they've made that pretty simple. You can go to their website and make a donation via the web. We've tried to make it even smarter and easier for you to find out everything you can about where we stand as a community on this topic. And so the Tallahassee Food Challenge, we will take those ad dollars, those sponsorship dollars from Gain Street Pies, Wooden Glass, Seller's Tile, Mainline Systems, among them. And we ask our local media vendors then to help us as well. We buy the TV and radio and billboard, print, social media, web advertising, all of it, to keep the topic alive, to keep it fresh, to keep it front and center. It's the challenge that all of us face whenever we're trying to make clear a critical point. Now, businesses do this all the time through advertising. Well, charitable organizations typically don't have ad budgets. So we come along and say, well, let the private sector pick up the tab. This is private enterprise at its best, capitalism at its finest, saying, look, there are no public dollars involved. There are no monies coming from any nonprofits. This is business taking care of the business of caring for other people. And these companies that are a part of this, they've done it, many of them, year in, year out. I mean, so if you don't do anything else, go to that website, send an email on to any one of those sponsors, or make a phone call, stop in and say, hey, thanks for caring enough to care about this community. Because when we have in the 32304 zip code a disproportionate number of folks who are at or below poverty level, that's a huge problem. And it's not just in that zip code. And as we talk with Jeremy Matlow, we're going to learn more about the pervasive aspects of poverty in our communities. And keep in mind this. When we talk about Tallahassee, we're not talking about two or three zip codes. You know, if you're blessed enough to live in Killarn, well, God bless you, that's wonderful. For the rest of the community, that includes Gadsden and Jefferson and Wakulla and, yes, even Thomas counties. Why? Because the number of people who work in this community, who spend money in this community, live in those outlying areas. Of course they do. Yeah. So when you take that metro, the Tallahassee-Thomasville metro, which is, by the way, what the federal government looks at, they look at the census data, and they declare the Tallahassee-Thomasville SMA as five counties. Right. About a half million people, folks. And a lot of those people are working in this ALICE category, right? Asset limited, income constrained, employed. I think that's right. So in other words, they got a job, but they're stuck. There's no going forward. They just keep working it and working it and working it. In my opinion, that plays well into the whole plantation way of thinking of this community. We got to get past that. That's so old school. It's a new day, friend. Tallahassee, it's time to grow up. I think Commissioner Matlow's helping us do that. We're going to find out what he's doing among his colleagues and how, as a commission, they're working on our behalf. So stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So the last time he was here, he was a candidate for City Commission Seat 3, if I recall correctly. He was young and inexperienced, rather naive, and hoping to do good for the common person in our community, and full of great ambition and purpose, great vision for our future. Then came the election. And yes, he got elected. Now the work begins, and it's been going on for 3 months. No rest for the weary, they say. So it's a pleasure to welcome you back, Mr. Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
You know what? You actually look a lot better now than you did like 6 months ago. You've been getting rest, right?
And
you have a little more. You have a new baby in your house. That's got to feel kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Good.
You know, just crossed the 4 month mark, so we're getting a little more sleep than we were during the campaign, for sure.
I loved the note that I saw just following the election, and you were off to Disney World or something. Like, guys, I love you. Give me some time away. So you guys, you did the smart move. You just got away for a few days, as much as you could afford to pull up and go out and have fun, right? And be a family.
Yeah, I mean, campaigns are hard. You know, families feel it. So we had to take that time away.
I found it curious, among those others who were running for office, city or county commission, all of them had very much the same perspective, because I think they all said this in their own way, that the campaigning was a lot more demanding than they had anticipated, that mm-hmm. you know, the impact on them personally and on their families. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in campaign mode, you know, every day you're thinking, what am I not doing? How much more can I do? Because, I mean, if you want to win, you have to give it your all. And there's not really a line to draw of, you know, I've done 40 hours of work towards this week, and I can
time
check
to go
out,
home now.
Right?
So there is no going home. That may be, in fact, in comparison sort of the way it is now? Or how is it as a commissioner? Is it still that sort of 24/7 feel?
You know, somewhat, because you're always available to the city if they want to reach out and talk to you about a specific issue. But I mean, I think the biggest misconception that we hear is that, you know, this is a part-time job. And, you know, by all means, if you want to keep up with all the issues and actually, you know, do your research and you know what the city's doing, know what Blueprint's doing, know what the CRA is doing, you know, that takes a lot of time as far as, and also communicating with the public and doing the public outreach.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's very much a full-time job, which I think people don't typically give it the full credit for.
But in that, you make it a full-time or time and a half because you personally decide, yeah, I want to be on top of this stuff, huh?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, we want to do the best job possible, and in order to do that, it takes essentially a full-time commitment.
But, I mean, there are no mandates as to how many hours a week you're supposed to serve, or are there?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, in theory, you could just, you know, show up at the meetings and cast your
commission meetings.
But
I think we've had examples of that, not in recent history, of course, but it seems to me we've had a few folks along the way over the decades that have kind of, you know, mailed it in.
Mm-hmm.
This is not this commission, by my read. You've got people on board now, including yourself, and of course Commissioner Richardson, who's probably the senior member of the firm at this point.
Yeah, we call him the dean of the city commission.
I'm sure he appreciates that. Yeah, just don't call him Grandpa. Well, man, that's not a bad title, is it? He's got some beautiful grandchildren, so why not? And then you have Mayor John Daley. Well, John's no newcomer to how things work. Is that an asset, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think so. John or Mayor Daley, he's got, you know, he's got a lot of energy. He's a great face and a pitchman for the city.
Yeah.
So it's been great working with him. And really, with the new commission, I think we have the most responsive commission to citizen input and outreach. And we've had in a long time, and I think it's really going to catch some people by surprise if you're used to having conversations that say, well, you know, no one's listening to me, or when I do show up, it doesn't matter anyway. I think we sent a clear message coming in here that we are listening to you, and we don't want to just make decisions. We want the community to come along and make the decisions with us and be the driving force behind them.
I think you had better than 100 people show up at this recent town hall meeting at Walker Ford. I mean, I've been to some of those town hall meetings over the years, and you might have 25 or 30, and half of those people are city staff.
Right.
So, wow.
And I got to give credit to my colleagues and, you know, the city manager and the city staff, because these meetings, a lot of people have showed up. I think people, they want to know that they're being listened to by their elected officials. So to have the entire city commission show up at a town hall and listen to people's opinions, to have, you know, the city manager ask his top staff to be there to listen also. So nothing's falling on deaf ears. You know, you're communicating with the people who need to hear it, and we're taking those opinions to heart.
One of those topics of late was the relocation of Tallahassee Police Department headquarters, right? Tell us about that process. How did that go down?
Yeah, so this was halfway in the works before we got here. And, you know, the first vote that came to us was architecture design services. And I think largely on the city commission, we've heard the need for more public input. So we just asked, let's pump the brakes for a minute. Let's have two town halls, make sure we're putting it in the right location, but also see what kind of assets a public safety campus can have for the community, because that was the chief's real vision, is how can we mesh a new TPD with some community features that will bring, you know, children and, and young people together. And so we hosted two town halls, one at the senior center and one at Walker Ford, and a lot of people came out, and a lot of diverse people, young, old, and they all had their different opinions. And I think it was a perspective that a lot of people hadn't heard before. And then the takeaway at a future mission commission meeting, Commissioner Richardson said, you know, I don't think we can put it in this location. And, you know, I thought we didn't really do a wide enough search also to even, we never had alternative locations to consider. So
you kind of got, you inherited what was, like you say, sort of midstream. And according to the reports, a lot of folks pushed back hard expressing a kind of distrust or lack of confidence with Tallahassee Police Department. We had Officer Damon Miller with us last week and talked a little bit about their efforts to try to enhance that, create a more, we'll say, affirming relationship between the public and TPD. We're going to talk some more about that. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got Commissioner, what was the name again? Jeremy Matlow. He's a good guy. Stay with me.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Commissioner for City of Tallahassee, Seat 3, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow is here talking about creating a greater a level of trust, not just with the Tallahassee Police Department, I think with public officials. And you've expressed this intent individually, and I think you've done so collectively, where the commission is saying, hey, man, greater transparency, greater responsiveness, more engagement, more opportunities, talking about taking commission meetings out to various locations around the public, and you've got one coming up
Gilchrist Elementary.
Gilchrist
in
Elementary.
Late March.
In what time? I'm sorry.
It's in late March. I don't know.
Yeah.
The
okay.
Date
so in a month or so, we will have that opportunity. We're looking at cooperating with the city in that capacity, so that we can bring a live broadcast of those or any one of those meetings as they occur, thinking that there are people who could listen in and then forward a question via some social media platform, right, or an email, whatever, and that would give the commissioners opportunity to connect with the larger number of folks that just can't be there for whatever reasons. So we're going to pursue that a little bit. It seems to be a new day for the city of Tallahassee, but you still have a lot that you've had to carry through. I mean, the FBI investigation, as far as we know, is ongoing. Some rather damning indictments have been handed down. The PR firms that are supposed to be handling all this stuff, they quit because there's just too much load. How do you recover from all that? And if we put it in perspective, look, man, is there a city in this country that doesn't deal with, negative headlines, whatever it is? But see, Tallahassee, we're nice. We don't have bad things happen here. Yeah, we do. And one of the messages that you were bringing through the campaign that resonated with a lot of people, you got to look at every neighborhood. You can't just sit there in your own little fiefdom, your zip code or whatever. You got to be willing to step aside a little bit, step out over here where I grew up, in these neighborhoods that still don't have sidewalks, where food scarcity is a daily issue, where poverty is well beyond what it should be for any one zip code. Those are the things that I know are real close to your heart. Thus far, have you found a willingness among your fellow commissioners to hear you out?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people agree. You know, we talk about our poverty rates, and in the last year, we actually saw the number of working poor, the ALIS population, grow. So it's a serious concern. We talked about it at our budget meeting last week, and at our first retreat when we set our priorities. The top priorities that haven't been changed in quite a few years, we updated the quality of life priority to be the quality of life and the impact of poverty, because the two go hand in hand. So I think poverty is an issue this commission's ready to take seriously and head on. And as we decide how we're going to spend dollars and invest in projects, we're going to be looking how we tie the two together and really start to move the needle in the right direction.
I learned about ALIS by way of our good friends over there at the United Way. And it's an interesting acronym, you know, asset limited, income constrained employed.
It's a nice way of saying the working poor, or the struggling people.
So this is the man and his wife or whomever, and they may have full time employment, or they often would have another job in addition, part time, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the level of income, they're stuck. So they are among another term that I was educated to was the income entrenched, and that from one generation to the next, you're not going to see a whole lot of change there. Mm-hmm. So when you think of those populations, do you have a grand vision? You have some magic bullet?
I mean, there's no magic bullet, but I mean, it's every policy you make, every decision, every dollar you spend, if you have that in mind of how we're investing in local businesses and startups, and how we're providing opportunities in neighborhoods that don't have businesses in them, so they have to take a bus to go to a job. And you look at all these, the greater vision of it.
There
if you
go.
Just have it in your mind when you're making decisions, you know, the benefit will be felt, you know, over the years as we go on.
Is that what happened with the Midtown parking garage project, do you think?
So the Midtown parking garage, we had almost 100 people show up to a meeting to learn more about it that, you know, weren't so happy with it. But really, you look at, for making these multi-million dollar investments.
Public money,
right?
Yeah.
What's the public good of it? And I think with parking, when it makes money, it makes money, and the private sector is happy to do it. So if we're looking at how we're investing dollars, you know, we have affordable housing problem. We're starting to, the median price of houses have gone from $180,000 to over $200,000 in the last few years, and we need more inventory. So when we start to look at how we can direct funds that help and impact individual lives, I think you can invest, and we can actually see a return on those tax dollars, and at the same time improving lives of people in our community, and especially those populations.
It seems to me there is that sort of tertiary benefit, right? That immediately, if you're investing in private, I should say affordable housing, right? The outcome of that is not only are you then providing opportunity, you've got families that can grow, and maybe they can get out beyond that entrenched level, because not every penny they have is going just to stay alive,
right,
from day to day.
And it ties in with our top priorities, you know, the quality of life for people. Public safety is another one. And as we help people realize their best potential and step up the ladder and, you know, be able to afford a home and, you know, make a living and take some away from, you know, some of the other effects that, you know, society will bring on you. So I think it's a hard challenge. Nobody has a silver bullet. We just need to make sure we're working at it, you know, every day.
When you took office, and this happened shortly after the election, I think you said you were installed, took your oath of office the 19th of November. Was that right?
Sounds great.
Somewhere there. So, you know, didn't waste any time. And I'm curious as to what you discovered once having taken the office. You're in the position. Any surprises, things that you weren't particularly aware of going in?
Just learning, you know, it's a large learning curve. We got to learn everything. We have to do 10 years of history to find out how we got to positions we're in. And we have to learn the personalities of our colleagues. You know, we're not running the show over there. So, you know, we have to come out in a public format and see if all five of us or three of us agree on a specific policy or direction. So just learning more about, you know, what my colleagues want to do, what they don't want to do, where we agree, where we don't, and then trying to relay that grand vision to city staff and really getting an effective way of, you know, leading as a group of the entire city and directing staff at the same time.
Well, I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, unless it's me, of course. You can do that all you want to. But the fact is, you know, you bring highly energized, intelligent, type A personalities all in one place at one time. Any one of you people have or can run, you know, a company. Many of you have done that. You're all accomplished. And of course, you know, the Bible says every man thinks he's right in his own mind, right? So there's that given. And yet you thus far haven't been disappointed. You feel like there's a level of camaraderie and cooperation.
Yeah, I mean, we have such a great, I think, dynamic commission. You know, we're not up there, you know, throwing jabs at each other. We're up there expressing our opinion, saying where we want to go. And I think there's a lot of overlap. And, you know, some things we don't agree on, and, you know, that's okay. But I think at the end of the day, we're just talking about the issues. We're talking about what people have told us on the campaign that they want to see, and or what we've seen over the years. So I think really what you see is that's the beauty of democracy. Like, we have so many people telling us what they think, and then we're getting in a room and we're coming to a consensus, you know, right there in real time. And I think you get better decisions that way rather than one person running the show anyway.
He is commissioner for seat 3, Tallahassee. Jeremy Matlow is our guest. Stay with me. We got more.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, who you look at where we are as a community, and you look at the number of people, both in elected positions, in public positions, employed by the city of Tallahassee. I would have to say things are actually pretty good when you look at the raw number of people involved. And we certainly hope that everybody is doing their job the way it's supposed to be done. And, you know, what we don't know, we don't know. But you step into this office and you're a lifelong resident, for the most part, Tallahassee. Grew up here, went to school here. Do you have in your mind things that I think we could do a better job? So maybe a fair question is, as you look at us, what could we be doing better?
Yeah, and that's as a business owner, that's a question I ask, you know, every day of my life, and bringing the same attitude to the city. You know, what are we, not necessarily what are we doing wrong, but what can we do better? You know, we've seen, as you just mentioned, some bad apples, so to speak, that have kind of, you know, tainted our reputation. And it's so nice to have a fresh group of people who are going to, you know, we can step away from that. I think we can stop having that conversation soon. Let the Justice Department, you know, let the justice system sort that out. But, you know, our directive now is people want us to restore the public trust. They want to make sure they're being listened to. And in order to do that, we have to analyze every single thing we do. So, every decision we're making, every department, we think about, I'm asking, how can we do that better? And yeah. It's not my job to go in and tell an individual employee what to do or make this, but it's our job to identify our weaknesses mm-hmm. and then come together as a body and try to strengthen the system. And I think that's kind of what we've been trying to do mm-hmm. is where can we strengthen? And I think the first thing we all knew going into it is it's that public trust estimate, that community engagement. And I think we've been very successful in the policies we've laid out thus far. We've made it, we got rid of the 30-minute time limit on public speakers, mm-hmm. so everybody who wants to come can speak. We moved city commission meetings a few a year outside of City Hall, so you can mm-hmm. come out in a different environment. And we've already hosted 3 town halls in 3 months to talk about the issues, the biggest issues. And I think mm-hmm. it's going to take time, and it's going to be baby step by baby step, but we got to mm-hmm. let people know that we're listening. So until we cross that hurdle of, because it's not necessarily our job to go in and fix right. everything, it's the communities, and we want them to know. Right. We want them to know what's happening. We want to see if they have a dissatisfaction with a certain process. Mm-hmm. And as we hear that feedback, then we'll be able to make those bigger decisions.
You have those that are year-round residents, and they are at or below poverty level, well beyond, well above, I mean, 45% of the population, as it's reported. Those kinds of concerns, have they diminished in your mind? Are you still as adamant about?
No, I think it's still at the forefront of the conversation. I've seen the zip code study, but it's also, we need to look at poverty across the city. You know, one person's impoverishment is no different than another.
No matter where they live.
Right. So we're looking at where has infrastructure been neglected? Where do we need to add the sidewalks and try to increase business activity? And then there's programs that already existed, like the Tempo program, which actually goes out and reaches out to young people between 18 and 24 who aren't in school and don't have a job, and try to find them an opportunity to get a GED or get a career. And, you know, that's in its infancy, really. I think they just had somewhere around 500 people in the program. But I think if we get behind programs like that, you know, we grow it, and we just want people to know, if you live in Tallahassee and you need an opportunity, there's going to be one for you.
You and I talked about this again very early on in our conversations a year or so ago, as a business owner, and I remember you talking about how difficult it was just to get the permitting so that you could build your pizza restaurant. And then, is Tallahassee a pro business town in your mind?
I wouldn't say we're anti business, but it's just depending on how you look at it. Are we talking about large corporations that want to come to town? Or are we talking about a guy in his garage that's got an idea for something he wants to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's conversations that I've entered into. Mm-hmm. What would be the appropriate channel? We have an Office of Economic Vitality that we share with the county, and we have a city program, and all are kind of doing different things. But do we have that one person, one office that you go to, you want to start a business, and we're gonna guide you through the process. We're gonna help you, let you know what the state needs you to do, let you know what the permitting hurdles really be, and really be that facilitator to walk you through the process.
Because, and the answer would be no, we don't.
Right now, we don't, and that's something we need to figure out where that best fits. And I think, and that's what we're getting when we have that one person, because most people, they have an idea for a business, they know how to do that business, they don't know anything about the technical things or permitting or what certificates mm-hmm. they need and all those mm-hmm. sorts of things. So if we can help people get over that very first hurdle, I think we'd be able to increase the amount of small startups we see in our city. Mm.
And for us as a community, because the economics tend to be dominated by employment with government in some capacity, right? And not just city and county, but universities, Florida State, FAMU, TCC. So there's probably, what, about 60% of the population, I think, that is employed in that capacity. So for the private sector, the number of businesses on record, I think, is somewhere around 8, maybe 9, 10,000. That's the message that people like the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce are constantly bringing to our attention. What are we doing for this business community, or NEBA? You know, trying to bring together people who are pro-growth, have balanced agendas. They're not, you know, advocating for And as in the case with Midtown, hey, let's build a parking garage. Okay, using public dollars to do that, when in your opinion, yeah, man, if it's good business, the private sector will be there to make that happen. Let's just not get in their way. Mm-hmm. Is that the message?
Yeah, I think there's a point of, are we putting up roadblocks? And if we are, we need to figure out what they are and remove them.
And maybe unintentionally. We're just kind of backwards, right, about things.
But I think we are largely, the growth we're seeing in our city is private sector. You know, state government hasn't been growing. We are seeing that grow in the right direction. And I'm coming at this, everybody has a different focus, right? We have a focus on the Maglab and what magnetic businesses we can attract. And that's something the OV is really reaching out and trying to recruit those.
Right.
And I'm just coming from
a great story.
This is just one other perspective of the very smallest companies and how we can help them start up. Because I think those are the people who are going to create a real solid wage for themselves, and they're going to be homegrown companies, which will hopefully stay here. We don't have to recruit them,
right,
and they can build and expand and bring money from other cities back to us. So we need everybody's perspective, and I think it's great having five perspectives on the city commission, because if we all look at it from a different angle and we can accomplish all of it, we'll get better growth.
Good to have you with us, my friend.
Perfect.
Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, he is the guy who for all of these many months has been campaigning and now occupies this office, Commissioner Tallahassee, seat 3. Buddy, thanks for making it possible for us today. Appreciate you
being
with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, we'll keep doing this as your schedule permits. Folks, that's what we do here, bringing you everything that we can about what it is Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You'll find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. You can listen online at moosemagnificat.com, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans king cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
Your good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.